again in Lent, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And I love seasons. I every time I get into a different season, I say it's my favorite. Because I love the seasons and what they teach us. And this morning I want to just share a little bit about what I think that Lent teaches us this time. And also remembering that even as we celebrate seasons, that they're really just reflective of every day that we live as a Christian. In other words, every day we have a Lenten experience. Every day we have an Easter experience. Amen? It just continues on. So the seasons just teach us about our Christian life. We don't just, you know, during Lent, I mean, we don't just say, well, Lent is important for that we need to understand repentance and those kind of things just during Lent. It's like every day. And so I want to share just a little bit of what I think that God is teaching us about Lent. And one thing that teaches us about darkness and light. We know that, you know, I think sometimes you probably all have said it, that we think, boy, if there were just, if the day was just a little longer, we could get more done, you know? But really and truly, if the days were a little longer, would we really use that for our time with the Lord? Our time to serve Him, to worship Him, to be devoted to Him? Would we do that if we had a little bit longer every day, or would we use it for something else that we use most of our days for anyway? I'm speaking for myself here, of not really finding more time for the Lord and not doing the things that I know that could help me in my spiritual journey, in my spiritual walk. Well, the thing is actually, and you know, Lent refers to the lengthening of days, and we always talk about this during Lent, the beautiful time. Now we're seeing, you know, the end of winter. We're seeing the trees that are barren begin to bloom. We see flowers starting to come up out of the ground. The farmers are planting, getting ready for produce and all the things that they do. So this is such a wonderful time to experience that and see new life beginning. And you know, I talk about that all the time during Lent. This is new life, prima vida, new life, my favorite Spanish word. Probably the only one I know. But the thing is, we want that, you know, sometimes for the days to be longer. Well, I got good news for you. The days are becoming longer as history goes on. So, the average day today, compared to a century ago, is actually 1.7 milliseconds longer than it was 100 years ago. So, we are getting more time, right, to do something with. We're just not focusing in on that 1.7 millisecond, which we could use. But no, the answer to things is not really to have a longer day. It's the answer is to seek after God and His purpose and His will. And so so what I want to talk about is that Lent helps us understand darkness and light in the context of where we have been and where we are now and where we will be going. So first of all, where we've been. You know, and again, this is something that that we as just human beings, as Christian people, we have experienced darkness. And the scripture said that He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So as Christian people, we have come into the light of God. But we're also reminded not only by the seasons, but by every single day that goes by in nature, we're reminded that darkness returns to us. And so Lent helps us understand that, yes, we were once in real darkness, but then we've come into his marvelous light, but also that darkness comes back to us. That darkness returns to us by way of sin. Psalm 139, starting verse 11, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. And then the psalmist goes on to say, speaking to the Lord, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So I think that one of the things that tells us is to call us into the presence of God. And as we're called into the presence of God, we can have that a taste of that experience that God has, where darkness and light are the same to him. It's like, I don't know exactly how you explain that. It's kind of like the way you think about God with time. He doesn't live in seconds and minutes and years, etc., etc. God doesn't live like that. He's beyond time. And he also is there's some way that for him, light and darkness are the same. I guess the only way I can think of it is thinking of, like, you know, night vision glasses or something, you know, where God just, for him, everything is always the same. So what he's saying is calling us into his presence where darkness dissipates, where you can see in the darkness. Because for us, because of our sin, because sin keeps returning to us, and again, not just during Lent or right before Lent or, you know, when we celebrate at Mardi Gras or whatever we do, sin comes every day. So darkness comes to us every day. And it's in that place of darkness that we can't see very well. When we stay in the darkness, when we abide in the darkness, when we let the darkness overtake us. And I'll talk about that just a little bit, because darkness, usually in the Bible, it denotes ignorance, guilt, or misery. And so, just to talk a little bit about that, ignorance is not speaking of ignorance of the things in the world. It's not saying to us, well, you need to read the news more or watch the news more or be, you know, be up on all the current things that are out there. It's talking about ignorance, literally, I believe, of the power of God and of the way that God can work when we are in his presence and we're in his will, when we are seeking him. Remember that a people who seek the purpose and the will of God are a people who will see the power and the strength of God. Speaking to us of God's power, of what God's his ability to do things, and us sometimes, because when we're walking in darkness, when we allow sin to just reside in us, we can't see, we're ignorant, we become ignorant and blind to the power of God, to what God wants to do, to what God is able to do, to the things he wants to do in our life. And guilt. Darkness speaks of guilt. And I'm just going to quote someone on this, a writer, Peter McWilliams. He said, I just thought this was really good. Guilt is anger directed at ourselves and what we did or did not do. And you know what goes hand in hand with guilt when we allow guilt to remain in our life? Resentment. Resentment. And guilt and resentment are like twins. Guilt is anger directed at ourselves, at what we did or did not do, but resentment is anger directed at others, at what they did or did not do. And the more we walk around with guilt in our lives and allow guilt to control us and guilt to just get a residing place in our life, the more we become what? Resentful of others. It's amazing. Because I noticed for me, when I become more critical of others or resentful about things, I know really what's going on is I've got guilt of my own that I need to deal with. And it's causing me to be resentful to other people. So darkness speaks to us of ignorance and of guilt and misery. There was a movie, it was called Eat, Pray, and Love. I don't know if any of you saw it. I don't know why I watched it. It was some time ago. But there was a quote in that movie about misery. Clearing out all your misery gets you out of the way. You cease being an obstacle, not only to yourself, but to anyone else. Only then are you free to serve and enjoy other people. You know what? That just reminded me so much of God's nature and God's compassion and His desire for us as we walk the Christian life. The Christian life being a life of humility, of serving others, and really enjoying others. So clearing out misery gets you out of the way, gets me out of the way. When I just become more and more walking out of the darkness back into the light of God through repentance, through acknowledgments of my sin, through acknowledgment that this stuff is going on, I become less miserable, and I get out of the way, and then I quit being an obstacle. I don't want to be an obstacle in anybody's way, especially in their way to serve and to love God with all their heart. But I know I have been. And when I walk with sin in darkness, that's what I become. Anybody can say amen if they want to.
Amen.
Amen. So that's where we've been, in darkness. And Lent, again, shows us this great, how the days get longer and how there's more light. And really what Lent is about, it's not about just repenting and walking around with sackcloth and ashes. It's about allowing God, it's about giving God more room to live and to work in our life. It's about more light being in our life. And I don't know how you feel, but I can tell you the last, I don't know, what have we been, about 7 days without any sun? And I get miserable. I get, like, I don't like it without sun. I don't know how people live in places like Seattle and all that stuff, you know, where there's no sunshine. I would get depressed. I get depressed. And I don't like it. I want the sun to come out. And when the sun comes out, I get happy. I feel better. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. When the darkness moves away and more light comes in, we become more filled with the joy of the Lord. And that's really, I think that's where I like to live, a place of the joy in the Lord. Not determined by circumstances or how things are, how great things are going, but determined by how much I'm allowing God to work and live in my life.
Amen.
So where are we now? In a place where we're making room for light. C.S. Lewis said, "We're not merely imperfect creatures who must be improved. We are, as John Henry Newman said, rebels who must lay down our weapons." That's where we are. That's where, when we're allowing sin to rule and control our lives, we're actually rebels against God and against what God is doing. God is continuing going to us and going, I want more of you. I want to be with you more. I'm desiring you. God's fellowship and communion with us, it's much more His desire than it is ours, but we fight Him back. And it's rebellion. And we need to lay down those weapons we fight Him with. Those weapons that we use against others by actually looking at other people and say, "Wow, look, they're really worse than I am. Look at the things they do. Why can't I sin like this? They do it. They got away with it. Why can't I sin like that?" John 1:5 said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, that light is a place we've already been brought into. It's just that, you know, it just comes back. Not permanently, it just comes back. And we need to walk toward the light. Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and His glory will be seen upon you. This is the will of God. This is what God desires, that His glory would be seen upon you, upon His people, individually, corporately, as a church. I know that, you know, and Millie shared some things that are happening that we've just experienced in our church, but I can tell you this, the glory of the Lord is on this church.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ said He has you, and He has set up a place to live and dwell in you. So the glory of the Lord is on this church. And Don, you know, when Don goes to Africa, he sees that and he knows that. He just has to talk a little bit. As far as the people in Africa know, they don't know some of the pain, the different things we've been through all year. They just know, wow, what a great church. These little children minister to us. Bishop Charles, when he was here, he didn't experience the things that he didn't look at us and say, wow, things must be really bad. He just said, man, the glory of the Lord is upon this church.
Amen.
Life is in this church. We just have to get past those places where sin and other things have just kind of surrounded us and brought us down, and we have to use, and Lent is a great time to use that. Whatever it is that's causing you to feel those ways, take the time, use this time to let the light shine on those places and to be rid of those things. And I'll give you some of those things in a minute. Isaiah 9 verse 2 said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. This is speaking of us. We were a people who were in darkness, but we have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
Amen.
A light has dawned. Now we can take that the way God wants us to take it, and we can say, you know, we can kind of be like Lyle Lovett, or we can be like God. Lyle Lovett, in one of his great songs, he wrote these words. This is how I think sometimes we want to be. Who keeps on trusting you when you've been cheating and spending your nights in the town? And who keeps on saying that he still wants you when you're still running around? And who keeps on loving you when you've been lying and saying things ain't what they seem? God does, but I don't. God will, but I won't. And that's the difference between God and me. You know, we can do that. We can just say, hey, we'll just be like, well, I love it. God can do that. God loves you. God loves us. God loves everybody. He loves me in the midst of my sin. He still loves me, but I don't have to love anybody else. He forgives me whenever I ask for forgiveness. So I'm asking you at this time, in this period of Lent, have you made room for God? And I'll just give you some specific things. Have you made room in this season for more time in prayer? And I don't want anybody's hands to go up. Have you made more room for God to shine His light through reading more of the Scriptures, more, just getting more and more into the Word of God? Have you made more room for God by confessing your sins? We invited you last week. I've told everyone, you know, if you you can confess your sin. We believe you can confess your sin before God, and you do not need a mediator for that. However, confession is a sacrament. The ministry of reconciliation is a sacrament in our church. And so it's available to you. If you say, you know what, I've confessed this sin over and over, and it just doesn't, there's just nothing, there's no movement on it, it's still there, the pain of it is still there, I'm encouraging you, I'm telling you, call me, I'll come, we'll meet you, and we'll go through confession and the ministry of reconciliation. And I can tell you, God will move in a powerful way. But even if you don't do that, Confession, just for yourself. Cleansing of your sins through yourself. Confessing your sin. Have you made room for your God by forgiving someone that hurt you deeply? Someone that you're holding, again, that what I was saying earlier, that you're just, you know, you've got guilt in your own life, and then you have resentment against someone. Have you taken the time during Lent? What a great time. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater feeling than going to someone with something specific where you know you've done them wrong. You know that maybe they sinned first against you. And so then you think you're justified in sinning back. But you know in your heart, that's not God's way. There's nothing like going to a person that you've hurt or you've harmed or you've said something about or you've held a grudge against or you've got resentment against, and you go to them and say, you know what? I sinned against you and I need you to forgive me. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Whatever their reaction is, there's nothing like that kind of cleansing. So have you made room for God by forgiving someone? Have you made room for God by asking someone to forgive you? Have you just made room in your heart for more and more of Jesus Christ in the presence of God? You know, we talk about giving up things at Lent, and you know, I know and understand what that is. But if we're not giving up things, if we're not letting something go in our life that make more room for the light of God in our life, we're really missing the whole point of what Lent is about. It's about more of Him. It's not about less of anything. It's about more and more of Him and His light. So then where will we be? Well, that's easy. That's from Ephesians, the reading from the New Testament this morning. And I'm just going to close by reading this. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Y'all must not know how much He loves you. You know, I know you really do. But maybe you're really tired. But I'm telling you, when you really comprehend the love of God for you, man, it'll get you through anything, anytime, anywhere, any day of the week. It'll get you through any circumstance there is. Just a glimpse of how much He loved you. How much, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. This is corporate talk now. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding rich, man, I mean, you could preach this passage. The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, I'm telling you, when you understand the grace of God, when you know the love of God, when you've experienced the presence of God, doing works for the Lord, serving the Lord, serving His people, serving the community, that's nothing. That's nothing. You'll do anything. And I know that's how most of us feel, but that's where God wants to take us. That's what God is teaching us through Lent. Get rid of some things. If there's things that have piled up on you, get rid of them. Amen. Get them out. Get closer to Him. Let God's light shine in you. And then watch God work through you. You know, there's something I would like to say this morning, but I'm not, because I didn't ask for permission that person to say it. But you'll hear a story about how God just did this with one of our young people. But anyway, so I'm challenging you. Make room. Make room for prayer. Make room for reading the scriptures. Make room for confession. Make room for forgiving someone, for asking someone to forgive you. Make room for Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.